live from the Poly Market Studio in L.A. It's the Young Turks.
Hey guys, you've heard of the Young Turks podcast because you're listening to it right now. But make sure that you subscribe and give it a 5-star rating if you like it. Thank you for listening.
All right, welcome to the Young Turks. Got a great show ahead for you guys. We go inside Epstein's mansion, which nobody wants to do, but it is a house of horrors. So that's the guy accused of molesting dozens of underage girls. Wait till you see what's inside his house. And then later, Fox Business makes fun of people trying to retire and says it's going to be wonderful not to retire. It's a blessing if you have to work your whole life and grind yourself to death. Okay, so all that is coming up on the show, but I want to start with a special and important kind of an announcement. So let's do that. So one of the things that I'm most frustrated about in the presidential race and in all of politics is people have all sorts of wonderful plans, and I'm not really not saying that to put anybody down, because I actually think there are a number of great plans out there. The problem is, how are you going to get them done? And so they keep talking about persuasion. So on Green New Deal, for example, you know what percentage of Americans believe climate change is real? Well, you're going to think, well, look, Trump's got them believing it's not. Republicans are against it. So maybe it's 50-50, and that's why they can't get it done. Maybe it's like 48%. If they could just push it to 52%, then they'd get it done, right? No, 78% of Americans believe that climate change is real. Now, the reason we're not doing anything is not because you need 88% or 98% in a democracy. It's the corruption, stupid. And it affects things that are Democratic priorities, but also some Republican priorities too, balancing the budgets, etc. You're not going to get anything done. All that's going to get done is what is the will of the corporate donors. And a lot of people don't see a way out, and they don't see hope. So that's where Wolfpack comes into play, because they actually do have a roadmap to hope, literally. And what they want to do now is they want to show it to you guys. So in order to do that, they got to put together a short movie. And it's not just to show you guys, and a lot of you already understand that if you watch the Young Turks. But a lot of you don't, and you got to show your family and friends and etc. So you understand that there is a real way to fix this problem, and is a nonpartisan way. This is a rare thing that Republicans completely agree with progressives on. 96% of the country says that money corrupts our politicians. So what is Wolfpack doing? They're putting together a film. They also actually need to show this to legislators, because unfortunately a lot of them don't know any of the details either, and they don't know that hope exists. And by the way, when we explain it to them at the different levels, both Democrats and Republicans go, great, I didn't even realize that that was possible. So it's wolf-pack.com/film. So that is the website you need to go to right now. And you will see a little 5-minute preview. I'm going to show you a piece of it in a second, of what the film can look like. Now, it's going to have regular folks in it that are fighting for this, and there's about 50,000 volunteers at Wolfpack fighting to make sure that we end the corruption. But it also will show you how to do it. So I don't want to get into the whole long story now. That's what the movie's for, okay? But we can't do the movie without you guys. So if you can chip in that Indiegogo campaign to make that a reality, that would be amazing. I'm going to show you what you get in a second. But first, if you weren't wondering, well, who is Wolfpack? Let me show you. Watch this.
We are web developers.
We are freight brokers.
We are mechanical engineers.
We are marriage and family therapists.
We are community organizers.
We are veterans.
We are moms.
We are university professors.
We are writers.
We are baby boomers.
We are social service workers.
We are medical laboratory professionals.
We are vendors.
We are wildlife educators.
We are students.
We are artists.
We are volunteers.
We are dads.
We are ranchers.
We're nurses.
Well, those are all real folks from Wolfpack. They're all volunteers. There's only a couple of staffers, and they also worked in construction. They worked at an electric company where he'd climb up the poles. The last guy you saw there, Mike Mineta, that was his job before he took this job as executive director of Wolfpack. These are absolutely real Americans, not lobbyists, not politicians. They got in this because they're sick of it, and they want their democracy back. That's what this country is built on, real Americans taking charge. And you could help empower them by going to wolf-pack.com jetpack.com/film. It's right there. We'll put the link down below on YouTube and Facebook in the description box. So easy to click on it. So some of the things you can get if you throw some money in to make this movie possible is you can get a t-shirt if you give $55. It's a special edition only for this movie. And in fact, the reason I like the shirts is when I see you out in the streets wearing these shirts or at our rallies, etc., I know you gave money to those projects and made them possible. We can't do it without you. And then if you get to the higher levels, there's a whole bunch of levels. Go check out the website. But then at the higher levels, at $500, we're gonna do an online screening with me and Professor Larry Lessig from Harvard Law School and you guys, if you're in that category. For $1,000, you get to be one of the producers of the movie. You're in the credits, you're an associate producer, there's a couple other layers. And finally, at the highest level, you get the producer credit, you get the t-shirt, you get all that, but you also get a trip to LA to see the show in person. They pay for that, and you sit right here in the studio and watch us do a show. Look, Wolfpack is gonna fix this thing. It really is nonpartisan. This is the one thing we all agree on. Republicans hate the corruption, and so do the Democrats and progressives. We just show people a pathway, which is exactly what the movie's gonna do. By the way, interviewing scholars, legislators, people who've already voted for, people who actually understand the issue, and show you, you do this, this, and this, and yes, you actually end the corruption. It's not theoretical, we're gonna get it done, and you're gonna help make that happen. So let's go do it right now, wolf-pack.com/film. All right, we're gonna take a quick break here. When we come back, the rest of the news, including Jeffrey Epstein's insane house, and then should the labor secretary who helped him get that sweetheart deal down in South Florida be fired? And why was he hired in the first place? All that when we
We need to talk about a relatively new show called Un the Republic, or UNFTR. As a Young Turks fan, you already know that the government, the media, and corporations are constantly peddling lies that serve the interests of the rich and powerful. But now there's a podcast dedicated to unraveling those lies, debunking the conventional wisdom. In each episode of Un the Republic, or UNFTR, the host delves into a different historical episode or topic that's generally misunderstood or purposely obfuscated by the so-called powers that be. Featuring in-depth research, razor-sharp commentary, and just the right amount of vulgarity, the UNFTR podcast takes a sledgehammer to what you thought you knew about some of the nation's most sacred historical cows. But don't just take my word for it. The New York Times described UNFTR as consistently compelling and educational, aiming to challenge conventional wisdom and upend the historical narratives that were taught in school. For as the great philosopher Yoda once put it,
"You must unlearn what you have learned."
And that's true whether you're in Jedi training or you're uprooting and exposing all the propaganda and disinformation you've been fed over the course of your lifetime. So search for UNFDR in your podcast app today, and get ready to get informed, angered, and entertained all at the same time.
All right, back on the Young Turks, Anna Kasparian joins me now. A couple comments, then we'll move on to Epstein and the others. Hangry Skywalker writes in, "Regular informed Americans, a corporate politician's worst nightmare, hashtag Wolfpack." Totally right. Eclecting Miss Chelania, "Corruption is the most important issue in my opinion. If you end the corruption, you end 99% of the other problems facing our country. Once we end the corporate bribes, then Medicare for all, college for all, Green New Deal, and ending all of our senseless wars abroad all become possible because politicians will listen to what people want, not their corporate donors."
You know what?
Billion
that
percent
like?
Right.
That sounds like an aspiration.com/TYT. A win-win.
Yes, because then you would have actual democracy and get the legislation that you want. Indeed, yes. That is a win-win, Anna. Can you tell me more about win-wins?
I would love to tell you more about win-wins. In fact, if you sign up for an account with Aspiration, which is a great financial institution, you will get a month of free membership here at TYT. Aspiration is one of our partners, and they do great work. They help to invest your money ethically. And so just go to aspiration.com/TYT, sign up for their account. And then after you do so, go to TYT.com/free30, as in the number 30, And then you can redeem your month-long membership. Again, you get a full month for free. Sounds like an aspiration.com/TYT. Win.
Indeed. I'm gonna check wolf-back.com/film throughout the show. When we started, it was 105 bucks, boom, up to 756 bucks. By the way, they're trying to get to $50,000. It's not like it's a major motion picture. It's not gonna take tens of millions of dollars. 50,000, and they'll have a wonderful movie they can show all legislators throughout the country, and you can show your family and friends to show them that we actually can do this thing. Wolf-back.com/film. Let's see how high we can get it. All right, Anna, next.
Following Jeffrey Epstein's arrest and the very serious charges he faces in relation to his sexual relations with minors, we're now learning about what authorities were able to uncover as they raided his home. So he has this giant mansion, essentially, in New York, and authorities did raid it. And yesterday, when we reported on this story, we mentioned that they had uncovered images of what appeared to be young girls, but we weren't sure yet whether or not those photos contained minors. Well, now we know. During the search of his townhouse, investigators seized photographs of nude underage girls. So I want to just quickly go to a video that gives you more detail into what the raid was and how it took place. Take a look.
New raid video showing federal agents as they bust open the door of his seven-story, $77 million home on Manhattan's Upper East Side. In a dramatic news conference on Monday, the U.S. attorney saying inside, investigators found hundreds, if not thousands, of female nude or partially nude photographs. Some of the photos seeming to show underage girls. And inside of a locked safe, compact discs. One allegedly labeled Young Miscellaneous Nudes 1, another titled Girl Picks Nude.
So there are now reports about those CDs that were uncovered and how they could contain, you know, information or dirt on individuals that he would be able to extort.
Yeah, so look, let's talk about that a little bit. So number one, it could just be his own personal stash, and maybe he didn't want to go online for fear of getting caught online, and he actually bought the CDs and then put them in a safe, and they have underage girls. That's what it's like, basically partly labeled, as you just saw. Or it could be that he's got pictures of people, other people with the underage girls. And so if you're, for example, the sweetheart deal he got down in South Florida for these same crimes was unbelievable. I'll just remind you of what that was. He was put on the sex offender list, but he got the rest of the plea was, well, just not for underage girls, not for statutory rape, not for any of that, just solicitation of prostitution. So 13-month sentence. You might say, well, okay, 13 months sounds, well, depends. I mean, if it's statutory rape of dozens of girls, it doesn't sound bad at all. It sounds amazingly lenient, but it gets way worse. He was allowed out of prison for 6 out of 7 days to work because he's rich. So like, well, he runs a hedge fund, so we gotta let him out of work. If you're a mechanic, sad day for you. They're not gonna let you out of prison to work. You actually have to feed your family. He doesn't. Anyway, you know how many hours they let him out of prison to work? 16 hours. Mm-hmm. So basically, prison was a hotel room that he went to go sleep at. He spent the whole day at his office, his house, etc. So it was a joke. It was a total joke. And Alexander Acosta, who's the current labor secretary, is the one that made that deal when he was district attorney down in Florida. By the way, why is he labor secretary? A bit random, isn't it?
Right.
Okay. And one of the guys that Epstein has been connected to is Donald Trump. Now, we don't know what's in those, and we don't know if Trump did anything, and even if he did anything, whether Epstein had anything on him. And remember, he gets a sweetheart deal many years ago, well before Trump's in office, but Clinton is also associated with Epstein, Bill Clinton is. Mm-hmm. So, and Acosta's a Republican, and all of a sudden he winds up as labor secretary. Fascinating how that worked.
So I want to focus a little bit on the mansion that was raided, because the New York Times wrote a pretty lengthy piece about what people have seen within those walls. First of all, the mansion is out of control. It's gigantic. It used to serve, that building used to serve as a private school. And the way that he purchased it, well, he didn't even, there was no cash exchange. It seems like he kind of stole that property, which is insane.
Yeah, we don't know that. Yeah. So what we do know is that a lot of these incredibly wealthy folks, play a lot of games to avoid taxes and avoid the government. You can't avoid taxes, but they can because they're rich, they're corrupt, they buy off politicians, etc.
Yeah.
He bought this from the guy who originally started a company that includes Victoria's Secret. And they did it in a transaction offshore. So it's unclear if he paid anything for it. He paid a lot for it. It's totally unclear. Did he have something on that guy? And that's why it doesn't look like he paid anything. No one knows. Now that guy says, whoa, I cut off ties with Epstein 10 years ago. Trump, of course, I'm sorry, Clinton jumps in and goes, I cut off ties with him 15 years ago.
Everyone apparently had a falling out with Epstein about a decade ago.
Right, and right? Trump now jumps in and goes, me too. Right. I had a falling out with him too. Yeah, that's what happened, just like the other guys say.
So let's talk a little bit about that mansion. I want to go to graphic 9 just to give you a sense of, you know, the tax games that Cenk alluded to earlier. Prosecutors say the home is valued at $77 million, but the city's Department of Finance estimated this year that the mansion was valued closer to $56 million. The 2019 property taxes for the home, though, which are based on a much lower assessed value, were an estimated $347,000.
So look, this house is mental, and I want to describe it to you. And to give you a sense of how little, when the rich say, oh no, I can't pay more taxes, it's outrageous, how much of a lie that is. Mm-hmm. Okay, so first of all, by evading taxes and the higher assessment value there, he saved about $200,000 a year on property taxes. So that's another trick that the rich use to get their way. Now, what's in the house? First of all, house of horrors, weird stuff, which is unsurprising. Like a real life sized mannequin of a woman hanging from a chandelier.
Yeah, let me give you more though. Okay. So again, this is from the New York Times. On the second floor is a mural that Epstein had commissioned in recent years, a photorealistic prison scene that included barbed wire, corrections officers, and a guard station with Epstein portrayed in the middle. Now there was a public relations specialist who gave the Times a quote about this, and he said to me, that's me, and I had this painted because there's always the possibility that could be me again.
Okay, so that's weird, and I wouldn't want to look at a picture of me inside a prison, but maybe that motivates him, whatever, right? But okay, the mannequin hanging off the chandelier is super weird. Then there's a wall of eyeballs. And apparently they're taken from British soldiers. I couldn't tell from the description whether they were fake or real and they were modeled after British soldiers' eyeballs. But who wants to go to a place with a wall full of eyeballs?
And Epstein does.
Apparently he does. I mean, when people come in, they're greeted by.
Let me give it to you because it's incredible. So the visitors each said they were greeted by a tall woman who spoke with an Eastern European accent, who led guests up a marble staircase, which by the way sounds really nice, to a study on another floor. At the base of the stairwell, one of the visitors said Epstein had placed a chessboard with custom figurines dressed in underwear. Each piece, he noted, was modeled after one of his staffers.
That's insanity. Okay, look, first of all, what are you, Dr. Evil? So you're Eastern European henchman or henchwoman leading people up. Okay, that's could be random. Then the chessboard, could you imagine if I said to the staffers here, okay, Edwin, I need you to pose in your underwear.
Gross.
Because you're gonna be one of the pawns in my chess set. What? Like what? And if you have this much money, I guess people will do anything for you. And so I guess they suffered through that to get paid. But that's insanity times 10.
Well, the Daily Beast did one of these "Where Are They Now?" articles on various women who worked for him. Uh-huh. And there was one woman who really stood out to me. She's a pilot now, but she was actually brought to the United States from Eastern Europe by Epstein. And he would brag to people about how he basically paid her parents who were living in poverty for her. Like he bought her to be his slave. That's how he would refer to her. Okay. So that gives you a sense of how he treated his so-called staffers and the people around him. It didn't necessarily have to do with money. He had, according to accounts, he had real power over them.
So it's an obviously he bought that through the money, etc. But last thing on the House, and this is the one that really put me over the top. So let me give you a quick description and then the over the top part. So it's on between 5th and Madison Avenue on 71st Street, which is an amazing area of New York. So already any house there is going to be really expensive. It's 7 floors. My mind cannot comprehend how expensive that is. I get it that it's the prosecutors think it's $77 million, but wow, holy cow, right? But this is the one that's the finishing touch. The sidewalks outside the house, not inside the house, the sidewalks are heated.
Well, you gotta melt the snow, Cenk.
Well, of course you
do. The snow's gotta melt.
I mean, Epstein can't slip on the snow like commoners do. He's got to have it heated as he steps into his limo. Oh, or one of his 15 cars. He has at least 15 cars. You know, what does that tell you? People this wealthy, they literally don't know what to do with their money. I mean, heating the sidewalk is like almost literally burning the money.
No, but look, I didn't bring up the sidewalk because I actually get it.
No, I hate
the snow. No. Like, who wants to shovel snow in their sidewalk? No one does. So if you have the money to heat the sidewalk, you're gonna pay.
He's not shoveling the sidewalk. Are you insane? He's gonna hire people to shovel the sidewalk. He just doesn't want to have any risk of slipping. It's such an unbelievable waste of money.
Okay, fine. That's a good point.
70%. I was against 70%, but for every dollar above 10 million, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is right. And when I say I was against it, when I was younger, that's one of the reasons I was a Republican. 70% seemed high, but it's for every dollar above a certain amount. For above $10 million, let's go to 70%. They're burning it in the streets anyway.
Right. Look, you know I agree with you on that. That said, if I could warm, like heated floors.
Heated floors are amazing. First of all, that's extravagant.
How do they do it though?
You put the thing on the, okay, look. Look, it's extravagant. I get it. I'm drawing the line at the sidewalk. Okay, and I don't think it's too much to ask for. Anyway, look, back to the important stuff. Why is Acosta Labor Secretary? I mean, what an unbelievable coincidence.
That's a great question, and that's the next story.
Yeah, so we're gonna get to that too. And we're gonna get to everybody's reactions about Acosta. But the reason I bring it up in the context of this part of the Epstein story is because this is what happens when you have too much money influencing politics. It corrupts everyone. And next thing you know, there are public officials looking out for and doing favors for a guy who's accused of molesting, sexually assaulting, etc. Dozens of underage girls who's got eyeballs in his walls. Mm-hmm. And this is not what America is supposed to be about. And unfortunately, that's what it's devolved to. Where the richest people in the country can buy everything, including justice.
So let's talk a little more about Acosta. Donald Trump's current labor secretary, Alex Acosta, is currently defending himself following the very serious charges that Jeffrey Epstein is facing by federal prosecutors. Now, the reason why he is mixed up in this story is because he actually served as the prosecutor in the Epstein case over a decade ago. But what he did was something that raised a lot of red flags. As prosecutor, he actually pushed for a non-prosecution plea deal without even notifying the victims that he was supposed to be representing. And so there have been a number of Democrats, Democratic leadership who are calling on him to resign. And he's responded to that, saying the following: the crimes committed by Epstein are horrific, and I am pleased that New York prosecutors are moving forward with a case based on new evidence. With the evidence available more than a decade ago, federal prosecutors insisted that Epstein go to jail, register as a sex offender, and put the world on notice that he was a sexual predator. He continues to say, and this is all through Twitter, now that new evidence and additional testimony is available, the New York prosecution offers an important opportunity to more fully bring him to justice. Now, the wording here is important to pay close attention to, because there was ample evidence in the prosecution previously, 10 years ago, the case 10 years ago, where Acosta could have very easily pursued a case against him, but instead he went behind the backs of the very victims who he was supposed to represent and worked with the defense attorneys on this non-prosecution deal, which allowed Jeffrey Epstein to essentially get off with a slap on the wrist. And the reason why I say that is because even though they gave him a 13-month sentence, prison sentence, he was able to leave 6 days out of the week to go to work. He was able to leave for 16 hours out of those 6 days, right? And so he registered as a sex offender, but it wasn't really a harsh criminal sentence, especially considering the fact that he didn't have to plead guilty to the serious charges that were brought against him. He had to plead guilty to much lesser charges.
Okay, look, let's keep it real, guys. So whether Acosta did this because he was covering up for government officials who might have been connected to Epstein, or whether he got his job as labor secretary now because he was rewarded for those cover-ups, put those aside for a second, we'll come back to them. Under no circumstance does this deal make any sense. If someone you know had been charged with molesting and sexually assaulting and raping underage girls, is there any chance they would have only gotten a 13-month sentence? Is there any chance that they would have said, hey, well, you know what? I'm a dentist, I gotta go to work, so I'm gonna take 6 out of the 7 days off my prison sentence. And the prosecutor would say, oh yes, sir, of course, sir. 6 out of the 7, you only serve 1 day in prison, sir. And by the way, the days that I come in to sleep in the prison, I'm only gonna come in for 8 hours, just from when I'm sleeping. I'm gonna use it like a hotel. No one, I mean, forget dentists, that's middle class, there's no way they'd let him do that. Imagine if you're poor. I mean, these are not conversations that anybody would have. The only reason he got that deal is because he's rich and connected, and everyone knows it. There's not a person in the country that could deny that. So is that the kind of person we want as our labor secretary, who goes, oh yeah, I crushed the poor and the middle class, but when it came to the rich, I gave them everything they wanted, no matter how many young girls they molested. Is that who you want as your labor secretary? So that's of course unconscionable. Of course he should step down. But then that gets us to the interesting question of why that guy was hired in the first place.
So let's go to video of Trump addressing this whole case.
Well, you know, I met Secretary Acosta this first time I know when I made the deal to bring him on into the administration. I can tell you that for 2.5 years, he's been just an excellent Secretary of Labor. He's done a fantastic job. What happened 12 or 15 years ago with respect to when he was a US attorney, I think in Miami, is it Miami?
Yes,
you know, if you go back and look at everybody else's decisions, whether it's a US attorney or an assistant US attorney or a judge, you go back 12 or 15 years ago or 20 years ago and look at their past decisions, I would think you'd probably find that they would wish they maybe did it a different way. I do hear that there were a lot of people involved in that decision, not just him. I can only say this from what I know and what I do know is that he's been a great, really great Secretary of Labor. The rest of it we'll have to look at. We'll have to look at it very carefully, but you're talking about a long time ago.
I mean, how many members of Trump's administration get ousted or have been ousted already because of their mistreatment of women? In the case of Acosta, it's not him mistreating the women, except as prosecutor, he kind of did, because the victims were women who deserved fair representation, but Acosta went behind their backs and pursued this non-prosecution deal.
And by the way, just so you're clear on the plea deal, legally, he was supposed to tell the victims before it got finalized. He hid it from them, mm-hmm. which a judge has already ruled as illegal and said it was the wrong thing to do. He violated the law. He didn't want the victims finding out because he knew that they wouldn't be in favor of this outrageous plea deal that he had negotiated. He then turned around to the victim and said, too late, I already made the deal.
See, but okay, so a judge rules that what Acosta did was wrong, that it was illegal. But I mean, we talk about how unfair the justice system is. Other than saying what he did was wrong and illegal, what happened to Acosta?
If you do something illegal, you go to prison. If a government official or a rich person does something illegal,
they become labor secretary.
That's right. And so theoretically, the Justice Department back in February opened up an investigation of Acosta on these grounds. And we're in July. I don't know how that investigation is going. But the Trump administration assures us, don't worry, we're investigating ourselves very thoroughly. And look, here's an important point. A lot of people got onto Trump's cabinet because they did favors for Trump in his past life. So Wilbur Ross did financial favors for him involving banking. He's now the Commerce Secretary. Steve Mnuchin had deals with Donald Trump. He's now the Treasury Secretary. Rex Tillerson had a deal with the Russians when he was CEO of ExxonMobil that was worth $500 billion. He becomes Secretary of State. Carl Icahn, he wanted to get involved in his government. Carl Icahn bailed him out along with Wilbur Ross earlier in his life. Otherwise, one of his bankruptcies would have ended his career completely. So when he becomes president, he looks to do favors for people who have done favors for him in the past.
You're absolutely right. And that explains why in the video you just watched, Trump referred to appointing Acosta as making the deal.
Yeah, what deal? That's a great question.
Yeah.
See, Trump always accidentally admits what he's doing because he's not smart enough to cover up. And so that's why Mueller showed about 12 instances of him obstruction justice blatantly, because he's not even smart enough to realize he's doing a cover up. So he blurted it out there. So out of all the people in the world, to pick Acosta as labor secretary is at a minimum weird. Look, we're not like the right wing. We hope that there's further investigation, see if they could find out if there was a deal, right? Now, my God, if it was Obama and his labor secretary, there would already be a million conspiracy theories and they would be absolutely positive and they would make stuff up on top of things. You don't need to make anything up about this. What Acosta did is already unconscionable. Mm-hmm. And Trump, even if there was no secret deal with Acosta, picking him makes no sense and is unconscionable. He should be immediately fired, but I hope the reporters do delve further to see if they can find any details of why he was picked in the first place.
Now, as we know, Jeffrey Epstein was tied to many powerful individuals, including Bill Clinton, Donald Trump, the Saudi crown prince, Mohammed bin Salman. And so a lot of these powerful people are now doing some damage control. Now, a lot of these powerful people are doing some damage control, including Donald Trump. Take a look.
Well, I knew him like everybody in Palm Beach knew him. I mean, people in Palm Beach knew him. He was a fixture in Palm Beach. I had a falling out with him a long time ago. I don't think I've spoken to him for 15 years. I wasn't a fan. I was not, a long time ago. I'd say maybe 15 years. I was not a fan of his, that I can tell you.
You know, a lot of these politicians didn't bother doing their math, because 15 years ago is 2004. He did all the molestation that he was charged with in this case between 2002 and 2005. So that would put Trump's friendship with him smack dab in the middle of the molestations and sexual assaults. Oops, that's what happens when you don't prepare. Just do a little bit of math before you come out and lie to everybody. And so, by the way, why were all these guys palling around with him? Now, one theory is because they're participating. Okay, but even if you don't get to that, and it's just a theory at this point, people don't have enough evidence on it yet. The other reason is because he's rich. So Trump likes rich people, and he's not rich himself, so he looks up to rich people. So he's like, ooh, Epstein's actually rich. Oh, can I get a ride on your Lolita Express? That was the nickname of Epstein's jet. Gee, I wonder if they could tell that he was in the young girls. In fact, we showed you the quote yesterday of Trump saying, Epstein's really into beautiful girls, and really young ones. So he knew all along, right? Why the politicians? Because back then Trump, not a politician, but Bill Clinton was. Because they want the bribes. So they go kiss the ass of all the billionaires so they can get campaign funding. And Clinton used Epstein's plane on a number of occasions. So even if he's out of office, he used it during the Clinton Foundation. And he says, I only use it 4 times in a statement that he put out today. Well, Gawker back in 2015 found flight logs showing him using it at least a dozen times. So what is he hiding? But they all get to be friends with these billionaires because that's the guys that they have to say, I'll give you anything. I'll give you tax cuts. I'll deregulate Wall Street. What do you need, Jeffrey? What do you need? Please give me money. And that's why Clinton's and don't get me wrong, all the Republicans, etc., they all go and serve these sick rich guys.
Exactly. So I do want to end this on a Kellyanne Conway video, because Kellyanne Conway was asked about Trump's labor secretary, Acosta, who of course pursued that non-prosecution plea deal for Epstein about a decade ago. And she plays stupid in this clip. And what she says is so incredibly egregious. I just want you to take a look and then we'll break it down.
Does President now think it's acceptable for Acosta to be in his cabinet, given his role in the secret police?
But again, why are you talking about Alex Acosta, not Jeffrey Epstein? Jeffrey Epstein is the pig. Excuse me, Jeffrey. No, this is what you all do in lemming-like fashion, respectfully, of course. It's Jeffrey Epstein is the one raping young girls.
No one's suggesting Acosta's the perpetrator, but is it acceptable?
You're asking all your questions are about him and not the guy who's raping young girls.
Kellyanne, he's in the cabinet. Is this okay? Does the president...
Is what okay? You have to have a more specific question. You can't just throw out clauses.
Does the president still have confidence in Acosta given his role in the secret plea deal?
The president... What secret plea deal? It's not a secret.
The one that was negotiated at the time.
It's not a secret that the man went to jail. I've already answered these questions.
Yeah, so I can answer her questions very easily. Acosta is the one who enabled Epstein to be a rapist pig, as Kellyanne Conway put it, right? Yeah. He's the one who pursued that non-prosecution deal without letting the victims know. A judge has ruled that what Acosta did in that case was illegal. And you know, she's playing stupid. I don't think she really is as dumb as she makes herself out to be on this case. She knows what's going on. And it's amazing to me that she could just stand there and pretend as if Acosta serving as labor secretary in Trump's administration isn't questionable.
All right, so look, she thinks she's being clever and she probably went back and had a good giggle over it. Oh, well, you know, you said the one part of the sentence earlier, but you didn't say it in a full sentence. No, she said, why is he still a cabinet member if he did this secret deal that let this guy off the hook? That's a very clear question. You all heard it. You all knew what he was asking. Why is it a secret deal? Because they didn't let the victims know about it. That was the part that was illegal. You're supposed to tell the victims before you do the deal. They do this plea deal, and afterwards they go to the victims. Too bad, you know, I basically screwed you over. And the victims are enraged over. They were enraged over back then. They're enraged over it today. They never agreed to this deal where the guy serves only 1 out of 7 days in prison. And the 6 days, other days, he's let out for 16 hours in the day. Of course they didn't agree to that deal. That's why it was secret. And so when she says, well, why aren't you asking about Jeffrey Epstein? Look, Epstein is clear. He's in prison. He's in a world of trouble. So... But if you're saying, hey, why? Let's talk about El Chapo, right? Why aren't you asking about El Chapo? Okay, we asked about El Chapo. But if there was a guy in Trump's cabinet who let El Chapo out of prison, we'd ask about that, right? Wait, why is he in the cabinet when he let a gangster out of prison? Mm-hmm. For no reason at all, right? Or seemingly no reason. That would be a very normal question to ask. No, don't ask about that. Don't ask about that. Just ask about El Chapo. Yeah, okay, look, it's one thing when you've got a bad guy, and everybody's already furious about that. It's another thing when you have someone in power who lets the bad guys out. Why did he do that? Why was he picked as labor secretary? And why is he still in that position now that we all know what he did? Again, at a bare minimum, Acosta let him skate because he was rich and powerful. And that is gross. And by the way, speaking of gross, I looked up the eyeball situation. Earlier, we were talking about how the New York Times reported there was a wall of eyeballs in Epstein's apartment in New York. It turns out that the main hallway was covered with rows of artificial eyeballs from England that had been made for wounded soldiers.
Wait, you thought they were real eyeballs?
No, I originally read it as made from wounded soldiers. And I was like, what? But it turns out it's for wounded soldiers. I don't know if they ever got it or not, or if Epstein just bought them all and put them in the wall. Mm-hmm. Epstein also has not only a number of apartments in Paris, New York, South Florida, etc., and these giant homes and mansions. He owns an island, a whole island in the Caribbean.
It's a small island.
Yeah, and so you wonder why Alex Acosta made that deal. You wonder why he kept getting promoted after that deal by the powerful. Epstein's got pictures in his apartment of Bill Clinton, Woody Allen, Mohammed bin Salman, the crown prince of Saudi Arabia. Trump says he used to pal around with him, but broke off relations 15 years ago. Sure you did. And then I wound up randomly, out of all the 330 million people in the country, picking Acosta as my labor secretary, the guy who let off my buddy from the molestation charges. What a wonderful coincidence. And all those right wingers who are always like, oh my God, the child molesters, the child molesters, it's the Democrats. When it's their boy, all of a sudden, no way. It wasn't Trump. He probably picked Acosta because he was the most qualified. It was probably random, total coincidence. Interesting.
All right, we got to take a break. When we come back, update on a story we did yesterday regarding Trump turning on Fox News. We now know why he did it. And then later on, Fox News holds him accountable on climate change? What?
Huh?
At TYT, we frequently talk about all the ways that big tech companies are taking control of our online lives, constantly monitoring us and storing and selling our data. But that doesn't mean we have to let them. It's possible to stay anonymous online and hide your data from the prying eyes of big tech. And one of the best ways is with ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN hides your IP address, making your active ID more difficult to trace and sell to advertisers. ExpressVPN also encrypts 100% of your network data to protect you from eavesdroppers and cyber criminals. And it's also easy to install. A single mouse click protects all your devices. But listen, guys, this is important. ExpressVPN is rated number one by CNET and Wired magazine. So take back control of your life online and secure your data with a top VPN solution available, ExpressVPN. And if you go to expressvpn.com/TYT, you can get 3 extra months for free with this exclusive link just for TYT fans. That's expressvpn.com/TYT. Check it out today.
We hope you're enjoying this free clip from the Young Turks. If you want to get the whole show and more exclusive content while supporting independent media, become a member at tyt.com/join today. In the meantime, enjoy this free segment. All right, back in the Young Turks, I just checked wolf-pack.com/film. $1,434. Wow. Let's keep it going, guys. I think we can get to 50,000, make a great movie, and spread the word. Jank but Italian writes in the member section, I imagine that the Pizzagate guys are just as upset about this actual real child prostitution. I bathe in a very stable genius's tear, says, a hedge fund crook hedging his bets on which politicians will let him do what he wants. True, palling around with both Democrats and Republicans. That is a good way to hedge your bet in this insanely corrupt system that we have. A kitten in every pot, Marbo 2020 writes in. I understand the heated sidewalks more than the eyeball collection.
Right, me too.
On Twitter, Ka Bitch writes in, there's no reason to put porn in safe unless it is illegal. 100% right. Who's he hiding it from? It's his house, right? No reason to have it in a safe at all. Unless it's illegal. Don't you see, I'm Loco writes in, if Trump pardons Epstein, then he could run for Senate in Alabama. Last one, because I want to be fair to people. I didn't really want to read this because it's a kind of a downer on my being angry about the heated sidewalks. But Jill Ronan writes in, some Scandinavian countries actually heat public sidewalks and town squares.
I'm telling you, man, if the Scandinavians are doing it, then it must be right.
See, this is why I'm against socialism. anyway, continuing, Jill writes, it saves the country on snow removal costs, healthcare spending, and helps keep people safe, especially elderly and parents with strollers. Interesting. Things you did not know until you watched The Young Turks and viewers told you.
I love when you guys chime in to dunk on Cenk. I know that wasn't really dunking, but thank you. Thank you for the facts.
By the way, two more things. Everybody, you can get this at shoptyt.com. I love this. I wanted to wear this for old school tonight. Check that out if you're a member. tyt.com/trial to become a member. And then tomorrow night, I'm going to be on Chris Cuomo again. So 9 o'clock Eastern, check out CNN. I'll be on Cuomo debating as whole, as usual. All right.
All right. And I also want to remind all of you, squarespace.com/tyt to create your website because it's hip to be square.
Yeah.
All right, so we have a breaking news story for you. A federal judge has blocked lawyers from the Justice Department from exiting the case involving an immigration question in the census. Now, the Trump administration decided that it wants to push forward in the fight to include a citizenship question in the census. And it turns out that there are Justice Department lawyers who are like, we want to bounce, like we're done with this. And William Barr has actually responded to the fact that they want to leave by saying, I can understand if they're not interested in participating in this phase. Now, the federal judge, though, in this case, Judge Jesse Furman is like, no, I'm going to block you guys from exiting because you owe an explanation. You owe an explanation for why you want to exit. 11 lawyers from the Justice Department asked the judge Monday for permission to step down from representing the government in the dispute. Justice Department officials said privately that Barr acted before the lawyers could officially object to further work on the matter, right? So these Justice Department lawyers did not sign on to continue this fight to include the citizenship question. And so since Barr kind of acted without talking to them first, they're like, we don't really want to be part of this. And I also want to note that the judge allowed two of the 11 lawyers to withdraw. One has left the Justice Department. The other is no longer in the civil division, which handles lawsuits of this type.
I still can't believe that people can't see the resemblance between William Barr and Pepe the Frog. Anyway, so now onto this. This guy is nearly unprecedented. This is unbelievable. So I remember when I was a lawyer, I once asked out of a case, but not in court. That would have been outrageous. Internally at the law firm, because the guy had done it, okay, and it made me really uncomfortable. He was a total crook, and so the partner said to me, "I'll let you do it this one time." And it was my first year in any firm. I just gotten out of law school, but he said, "Remember, you're a lawyer. This is what you do." Okay, and I thought not for long. That's why I didn't like it, and I left. But to do it when you're a veteran, in court, when you're representing the Justice Department, and 11 of you, wow, I've never seen anything like that. That is those lawyers going, what we're doing is clearly, obviously wrong. I don't want it on my record. I don't want to go in front of a court and lie about why we're doing this. The reason we're including this question is obviously because of politics. We don't want as many Democrats getting votes, and we have to go into court and lie and say, oh no, there is a legitimate government reason for this. It's very important for us to find out who's citizens and non-citizens. And the courts keep asking, this has been going on for a long time. This case didn't pop up yesterday. But why? Give us a legitimate reason. All you have to do, and by the way, it was a conservative Supreme Court who said, all you have to do is give us any legitimate reason. They're basically like asking them, dude, give us an out here, give us an excuse.
Give us a legitimate reason to include that question in the census, and yes, they failed to do that.
Yeah. And they can't do it. So now the lawyers at the Justice Department are saying, I don't want to be involved in this, man. This is a stain on my record. And I don't know if they're worried they're going to get disbarred if they go and lie for the president. Mm-hmm. And remember what clown ass Trump did. So they already went through the process. Supreme Court already blocked the question and said, if you can find any reason, tell us, but you can't. And we've asked you 100 times, there are no reasons, legitimate reasons for this. And the government needs a legitimate reason. Okay, so then the Justice Department goes, we passed the deadline. We got to print the forms. So they started printing the forms. And Trump's like, I don't want that. Fox News criticized me. Other right wingers criticized me. I don't like that. Okay, then we're redoing it. And the lawyer's like, what do you mean we're redoing it? What does that mean? So are we burning all the money we spent on printing this stuff? We're gonna go back to court. We still don't have a legitimate reason. All right, then you tell me, what's the legitimate reason for including the question? Trump's like, I don't know. I don't want Democrats voting. I want less votes from the Democrats. No, idiot, you need a legitimate governmental reason, not a political reason, because I'd like to win elections. I don't know, just do it. So they're like, no, I'm not gonna do it. I'm not gonna do it. I'm willing to get fired. I'm willing to get upbraided by the judge. I'm willing to do anything, but I'm not willing to lie for you, especially when you're this unbelievably clownish. It's not like that politicians don't lie. In the past, they've lied a million times over. He's just such a buffoon that he doesn't, like, he makes it so obvious that they're like, well, now the game's up. I can't do it. And so I love that the judge is like, no. If you want to get off the case, you're going to have to tell me that you're getting off the case because the government is asking you to lie.
Yeah, this was an excellent decision because, I mean, what happened today is one thing, but what's more important is what follows, because it does appear that these lawyers do not want to be involved. They do want to get off. And so they're going to have to give the judge what the judge wants, which is a real explanation for why they want to step down from this case.
I'm telling you, one of them might have to step up and go, they wanted me to lie and I couldn't do it. Because If that was the reason they didn't want to do it, and they have to make up another reason why they wanted out of the case, they'd be in the same catch 22. They'd have to lie to the judge again, and they might get disbarred and never work as a lawyer again. So he might have put him in a corner where they have to say, There is no legitimate reason for this question. It's a political question, and I didn't want to lie for the government. So, wow. And by the way, what the judge did is not unprecedented. Even if a lawyer in the middle of a case, especially criminal cases, wants to get out of the case in the middle, the judge will often say, no, you have to show me an excellent reason why you'd like to leave the case in the middle, because you signed up to be this person's lawyer and you got to follow it through. So very normal that the judge would do that. Very abnormal that the lawyers would in mass say, I don't want to be part of this mess. And that is exactly what the Donald Trump administration is, a total and utter mess.
Well, let's move on from one mess to the next with our next story.
We are here in a sport hardly owned. Listen to it. You're in a sport.
That was a viral video following what occurred during the Women's World Cup. The American team won. And so you have Americans in this French bar chanting F Trump, F Trump. And so there was some speculation about whether or not that led to Trump's angry tweets toward Fox News over the weekend, where he tweeted things like, impossible to believe that Fox News has hired Donna Brazile, the person fired by CNN after they tried to hide the bad facts and failed, for giving crooked Hillary Clinton, yada, yada, yada. And he just goes after Shep Smith. You guys get the picture. For the first time, he really aggressively went after Fox. And so people were speculating, was it because of that chant? And you know what? I made a bold, bold speculative point on this show. And here it is.
Kidding, it's a video from yesterday.
He's gone after Fox before, but it's been a lot more timid. It's more like, what the hell is going on with Fox after they hosted, let's say, a town hall with a Democratic candidate? This is the first time he goes after them a little more aggressively. And he doesn't really specify, like, really, you're bringing up Donna Brazile out of nowhere? I think it's because that cutaway really got under his skin. Those are American expats who obviously don't like Trump, and they're chanting F Trump over and over again. And Fox News didn't cut away or go back to the studio shot following that chant.
I want to be clear. I didn't disagree with that assessment yesterday, but I was a little, I was unsure about it. I was like, no, it could have been that. It could have been something else. I'm not sure why you think it was that. Turns out Casper was right.
So, told ya. That's all I wanted to do. I just wanted to say told ya. And you're right, you didn't argue with me. It's not like we had a debate about it, but I still wanted to say told ya.
No, but I was like, I hadn't put those dots together. So yeah. I think you deserve credit. And it's a, you know how much I love predictions.
Yeah.
It was a good prediction, good analysis. That's what we do, right? Mm. We love to tell you ahead
analysis
of time. And so now, reporters with White House officials as sources saying, yeah, Trump was really mad that they allowed F Trump to go on the air. Remember, we showed you the video yesterday. The reporter didn't even know what they were saying. He was saying, listen to it. Then he went and interviewed the guy, and he's like, oh, what do you think? And he's like, I hope the Democrats win in 2020. He's like, okay, it got political. Right? But even so, Trump's like, no, they let it on. Well, I'm angry, and plus I didn't get my nap. And so that's why he does the angry tweets.
Right, and look, when you have agreed to essentially serve as state-sponsored media, any minor misstep is gonna lead to anger, retaliation from Trump. And that's exactly what's happening. He got angry because Fox started doing these town halls with Democratic candidates. The first one they did was with Bernie Sanders, and he performed really well. And so that was one of the first times that Trump kind of spoke out against Fox. But again, as I said in that previous video, he was way more timid about it. This past weekend, he was not timid. And he has been pretty angry at Shep Smith, because Shep Smith, time to time, does pretty decent debunking of Trump's claims. So credit where credit is due when there are good segments on Fox, including that F Trump chant, which I really did enjoy.
Indeed. I wonder, do you think that Trump wears diapers? Because he's such a baby. He really is. And so I can't get over it, and I don't want it to be normalized, what a petty, petulant child he is. Mm-hmm. And so I'm actually borderline shocked that he hasn't done something completely insane yet.
What do you mean? He's done completely insane things like every day.
No, I know the tweets are insane. The ships were in the air to attack Iran. He called them back. No, I mean like bombing a country, crashing the markets.
Didn't he bomb in Afghanistan?
No, I know, but like in the way that these a lot of American presidents are, like low level wars. Like I'll admit it. Look, we're talking about predictions. I'm surprised so far that Trump has not caused an epic, irreversible debacle.
Hold.
I know.
Right. I mean, but irreversible debacle. Remember, there are still kids who were separated from their parents and are not reunited with their parents because the government doesn't know where the parents are. They deported them and have no idea how to find them. So like irreparable harm has already been committed. I'm gonna go ahead and quote a very intelligent woman who named her comedy, her latest comedy special after this quote. This S is not normal, right? I can't curse, but Wanda Sykes, this S is not normal. Like none of this is normal, right? And unfortunately, I think that he's so outrageous and so crazy that like his behaviors become normalized, that we're expecting something so outrageous that, I don't know. He's terrible in every way.
Yeah. I'm just telling you, it could actually be way worse. I hope it doesn't happen in the next 16 months, but I would be shocked if he didn't do something dramatically worse before he's out. Dramatically worse.
He will. So we gotta take a break. When we come back, we have more news for you, including a segment that Shep Smith did to debunk some of Trump's lies. I'm sure that got under his skin. We'll give you the details when we return.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Young Turks. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, Cenk Uygur, and I'll see you soon.